Recordings have been started.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. This is the sixth meeting of the high-intensity session. The fifth meeting of the high-intensity session. It is 10:04 UTC, and we will do attendance in the Adobe Connect room. If anyone is on the audio line, please state so now. Okay, I will turn it over to the chairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. It's Jonathan Robinson. It seems to be good morning for almost everyone, even though it's another day for some. Anyway, hello to you all, and as we pick up on the fifth of these six high-intensity sessions that we've all been driving towards, hopefully constructive outcome to try and wrap up key details of the proposal and test them against the public comment period. The objective of this meeting is to try and deal with the IANA functions review and the separation review. These were dealt with by two different design teams, design team N and design team SR, or possibly X in an older version. Stephanie has helpfully, following a request yesterday, done some work to try and synthesize, I think, the current outcomes and to work those against the public comments. So I'll be calling on Stephanie and colleagues from those design teams to work with us on that. But I thought just worth capturing a couple of outcomes from meeting four and just making sure that those of you who didn't have the opportunity to participate or just to recap a couple of items. I mean, we worked through elements of the PTI structure and the PTI board. It would be wrong to say we had consensus, but we started to try and coalesce around some key elements in order to both have a workable solution, as well as to comply with any historic decisions we had made, as well as current and historic advice we had received. In order to do that, we worked with the Public Benefit Corporation, although we recognize that there is a possibility we may have to fall back to an LLC structure, depending on any new information we might receive from, in particular, some queries that have gone out to ICANN that we are still waiting to hear back on. We talked about what the function of such a board might be and made sure that we were clear that the board functioned, and it was we viewed the statutory minimum obligations. The board needs to ensure that the statutory minimum obligations of PTI are met. And in addition, a key component of the PTI construct is that it is contracted with the parent company, that is to say ICANN, and so the board should ensure that the performance of the PTI is to contract. And from that cascades the performance of the entity, hopefully to the satisfaction of its customers via any service level agreements or associated contractual commitments and or provisions within the ICANN bylaws. We talked with some detail and some to and fro about what the composition of the board might be, and we worked with a construct of 3 to 5 members comprising a suggestion of executive and management, ICANN executive staff and or management staff from the subsidiary, with up to 2 others. One suggestion was this senior executive responsible for that subsidiary's functioning had the suggestion of adding a CTO and the MD of the IANA function. There was a follow-on suggestion which received some traction, which is that the ICANN board, not the CEO, select the board members on advice and consent of the CEO, so that it gave a degree of additional oversight there. with the CEO advising and consenting on the three employee members. And then we started to test that construct against the public comments, mindful, of course, that the public comments were prepared on a draft, which was drafted prior to us receiving key elements of advice and other components and other discussion that we had that had taken place. So that was a productive, although challenging, conversation because, as I said, we weren't in consensus, but we tried to work around something that was at least workable and consistent with the advice we had received. So I've got staff to prepare the summary document that Stephanie worked on, and I think that's probably a useful basis on which we can go through the work of relating to the IANA functions review, which, as you'll be fully aware, is a key element in the accountability of all of this, and a key escalation point over and above the supervision of day-to-day and month-to-month performance by the customer service committee. The next level up in the construct is the something which we expect to be provisioned for in the ICANN bylaws, and that's the construction of an IANA functions review. So, Stephanie, I don't know if you're in position. I'm just checking if you're on the call, and you are, and I hope you will be in a position to perhaps talk us through. And I think one of the things we could usefully do, and I note that Chuck's hand's up, so I'll come to you in just a moment, Chuck. I think one of the things we could usefully do is get some advice from you and any colleagues who worked with you, first on the IANA functions review and second on the separations work, as to any changes. It might be useful to orient us as to any changes before since the draft for public comment was prepared. So if you could bear that in mind as well, that will be helpful. Chuck, let me come to you for an intervention at this point. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. The reason I raised my hand now is because I left the last meeting a little bit confused, and it may just be that I had previous misunderstanding. But I had thought that the definition of insider or outsider in terms of PTI board was determined by who appointed the directors, but I left the last meeting thinking that maybe my understanding was incorrect. Now, we can deal with that later if you think that's best, but at some point I'd like some clarification in terms of that, so that I have a clear understanding of what insider director really means. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. I think it's useful that we do clarify that now, since we discussed some key elements of the last call. To me, there's no ambiguity, and our colleagues from Sidley, I hope, will confirm this. But look, insiders, I don't like the term insider. I'll just say this as a moment of distraction. I think insider implies something negative. It implies, in some way, someone the internal board or an inside board member is appointed is appointed by ICANN, by the parent and the member. Holly, go ahead.
Thank you. And I agree. These terms are unfortunate, and we revert to them because they're very commonly used in the corporate governance world. They're not meant to be in any way pejorative. And there's not a clear absolute definition on some of these. I want you to think about this as a continuum. At one extreme on the continuum, like a very pure outsider, you would think of designated by somebody other than ICANN and not at all employed or affiliated with ICANN. So that would be at one extreme. The way we used the term outsider in our memo, we were assuming that and we shouldn't have. We should probably have a discussed the stress test results around the situation, but we were assuming that it was ICANN appointed. So we were using outsider in that memo to mean ICANN as the member selecting persons who were not employed by ICANN to serve on the board, and we called that an outsider board, and that's how we defined it at the outset of our memo. By insider, we said ICANN as a member selecting members of employees of ICANN or employees of PTI. And so that's how we used the insider term. And so you could use that as the other end of the spectrum. Now, where you want to precisely draw the line, there's some variation, but that's how we described it in the memo.
Thanks, Holly, and I hope that clears it up for you, Chuck. I think as defined in the memo, there's nothing pejorative about it. It's just that we sometimes use insider when in referring to things like stock dealing and so on when it does have a pejorative or at least negative context, and it isn't intended in this way to imply someone who is doing something that they are conflicted or from doing, and I think that's the concern. So we should make it very clear that there's no implied conflict. It is simply an appointment from within as defined in your memo. Olivier?
Thanks very much, Jonathan. Olivier speaking. I absolutely agree with you on this point, but we do have to explain that term because we might be facing political pushback on saying, well, you know, it's all for insiders. It's the insider solution, and that has negative connotations. So we might have to scan through the proposal at the end so as to make sure that we're not using the term in a way that could be interpreted in a negative way. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for putting a finger on that. And I think in some ways it's possibly been at the heart of even some of our internal problems, let alone our communication challenges, if you like. Some of the challenges we faced in coming to terms with it internally, let alone how we might communicate externally. So, Olivier, thank you for putting your foot on it, and I think for putting your finger on it. And I think we need to be very clear in our document and our communications and think a little bit carefully about terminology there. I agree with you. It has the potential to be misread and or misconstrued. So thanks for the question, Chuck. I hope you got the clarity you needed, and I think we've taken on board that from a terminology point of view, we need to be careful there. So thanks for that. I note that for some, no matter how it's named, may have challenges selling it to themselves, and that's noted. Good. So I would like to hand over to Stephanie and colleagues on the dealing with the IANA function review to talk us through now any fundamental changes or key changes since we prepared the document for public comment, and indeed then any further responses to the public comment. So Stephanie, you've sent the most recent documents, which is great. I hope that the document that you prepared in high speed yesterday is useful for you as an aide memoir to work from. And would you be or are you willing to talk to us from that document? Okay, great. Stephanie, go ahead. I'll hand the mic over to you.
So one of the challenges that we had, the design team around the separation review got kicked off very shortly before the draft proposal was put out for public comment. So even by the time we started to receive the comments, there were pretty significant changes around this particular process. So we've tried to kind of account for it and the major issues here, but some of it could potentially have been accounted for if the most recent version of the comment had been circulated. I want to run through some of it. When we put it some of the changes that we've seen since. When we put the separation review process out for public comment, it wasn't clear. We weren't necessarily leveraging the same IANA function review team as we were for the periodic reviews, and there was actually not an establishment of what the composition structure for the separation review team would be. And basically, we did a really high-level process description, as well as a description, a really short inventory of some of the possible outputs from the review. But what was included in the public comment period basically stopped there. What we've done since, we've taken a look again at the separation review team, and rather than defining it as something different, the composition is essentially the same as, or is the same as what we would be using in the regular IANA function review team. And I think that provides for some simplicity and at least allows us to have the composition discussion around those two entities at the same time. Instead qualified that in addition to there being this regularly scheduled review, which is taking place every 5 years, that this same team, though it's not a standing team, could be triggered to be convened in a special situation. We've also put more meat around the trigger for what that separation process would look like. Right now it requires the as we currently have it drafted, it requires the supermajority approval of both the GNSO and the CCNSO, as well as of the ICAM board. That wasn't clear in the draft that we've put out for public comments. And then the next thing, while I think it's important to all of the members of this design team, and we've even probably, this is the one area that we've probably scaled back since the comment was put out for public comment. We don't want the outcome of this special review to be prescribed. That's one of the reasons that we stopped calling it a separation review, because the outcome of it isn't necessarily a separation process. We think a different range of remedial mechanisms could be proposed as a result of the review. We did take the additional step of, in the case that this special IANA functions review, or technically any IANA function review, produced an outcome where the IANA review team was calling for the IANA functions to be separated from ICANN, and this was subsequently ratified by the, or supported by a supermajority of the GNSO, the CCNSO, and supported by the ICANN board, what that process would look like. And none of those details were included in the prior process. What we have here is we're creating now a community working group that's responsible for carrying out the separation. The composition structure is similar in nature to the IANA function review team. One thing that I wanted to note is that while it's not something that was in its exact form agreed to by the CWG, what we tried to do to get a structure that was generally agreeable was to leverage the composition that in an earlier phase of the CWG's work had been discussed and was probably the most agreeable outcome to the majority of the CW, or the most agreeable outcome if we consider the divergences of what people wanted in defining the MRT. So that composition structure was repurposed for these two bodies. And so then we built out that this separation community working group, what they would basically be doing is, in most instances, managing the RFP process, including developing the inputs, the questions that respondents to the RFP would have to answer to. They would be responsible for circulating, publicizing the RFP itself, and then reviewing answers to ultimately arrive at a decision about who would be the operator. And we've made clear in the proposal that the future operator, ICANN, would still be permitted to participate in the RFP, and that the future operator could be a new entity or it could still be ICANN. We then have that selection being approved by the, and this is a dependency for the CCWG accountability that we might require further communication on, but that selection would then be approved by the membership organization that is presumably coming out of the CCWG accountability recommendations as well as by the ICANN board. So that doesn't account for all of the items that we have up on the screen, but that's kind of an overview of some of the changes between, even before we took a look at the public comments, the differences between what actually went out for comment and the subsequent work that was carried out by the working group, which has primarily been myself and Avery and Greg. So if folks can raise questions or comments here, or we can just move to the items, the items that came out of the public comments, which we've tried to, there were a lot of public comments, partly because this was so much in draft, but we've tried to consolidate some of the major topics to make it easy to run through and easier for staff to respond.
Well, thanks, Stephanie. I certainly found that very helpful in terms of orienting where you'd got to and how you'd closed the gap between the draft pre-public comment and the sort of draft as we might stand now without full review of public comments. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, and thanks, Stephanie and the team that develops this. First of all, let me say that I'm generally quite supportive of the direction you're going. I did communicate in a message late yesterday a couple fixes that I think are needed in the proposal for the separation process. I don't know if now is a good time to communicate those. I don't think they're things we necessarily need to discuss. But in the document that's titled Separation Cross Community Working Group, the SCWG, there are three steps. The first one relates to the three steps with regard to that are triggered when the escalation mechanism methods have been exhausted. I wanted to point out that the second and third bullets really overlap. The IANA problem resolution process involves the same accountability mechanisms that are referred to in the third bullet. Now, I don't think we need to solve that on the call here, but I just wanted to call that to your attention. One other thing that I think is a relatively easy fix in the next, I think it's the next paragraph, where it says a determination by the ICANN board to not approve SCWG that had been supported by a supermajority of the CCNSO and GNSO Council would need to follow the same supermajority thresholds and consultation procedures as ICANN board rejection of a PDP. Actually, there's not a supermajority required of the ICANN board in the case of the GNSO, if the PDP was not supported by a supermajority of the GNSO. So I would just suggest inserting before board rejection of a PDP to board rejection of a supermajority-supported PDP. I think that's a minor edit, but there is a distinction there because not all PDP recommendations require supermajority board rejection of those. And I'll leave it at that. And I don't know that we necessarily need to discuss those, but I think they're just fixes that need to be done.
Thanks, Chuck. Great catches or spots. And I see Stephanie acknowledges that those clarifications make sense, as does Avery. So that's very helpful. Thank you. Looks like we can probably hand things back to Stephanie then to start to walk through the public comments and proposed responses or updates based on latest thinking. So, Stephanie, let me hand the mic back to you.
Yeah, and sorry this is done at such a high level. There were a lot of comments specific to this design team. So for simplicity's sake, we've just broken it out. And we tried to do this work pretty quickly between the last set of calls and this one. So for simplicity's sake, we've just done it on a topical basis. The first one I touched on when I was doing the overview, which is the composition, and I wanted to underscore that we've actually changed the composition structure since the time that this was put out for public comment, when there was actually just a couple of straw man proposals for how this could be composed. What we ended up at was pretty similar to what had previously been agreed for the MRT. The comments that we got in about composition were all over the map, partly because it was undecided enough. You had some people, particularly on the registry side, asking that this component of representation be increased. You had other people saying that registries were overrepresented in the proposed structures and that it should be completely equal. There was one comment that called into question the role of the CSC liaison, though we discussed this with the design team, and we think that knowledge is pretty important for this process. You had another comment asking that the entire CSC be represented on the design team and five additional roles be created for it. So I kind of like to think that the fact that everyone seems to be equally unhappy about it in different directions means that we've hit some sort of a happy medium, but I would be interested in input. We took this back and discussed it as a design team, and people seem to think that, notwithstanding the comments, the structure that, not the one that was put out for comment, but what we have in our most current version is a pretty good balance. But if there are folks on the CWG that disagree strongly with it, please do raise that.
Thanks, Stephanie. Are there any comments or questions? An interesting point that the fact that there's a sort of balance of views in either direction, that you may already be at some sort of middle ground. But any comments? Anyone either particularly unhappy with the current structure, in particular with reference to the public comments, or does it seem that it's a reasonable middle ground, as sort of suggested by Stephanie? Grace, go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan. Hi, everyone. I think I just wanted to thank DTN on behalf of staff. This was really helpful feedback to get, and I think we can, based on this feedback, we can probably redraft some of our responses and put in some more sort of detailed responses that match the document that Stephanie and DTN have proposed. So we just wanted to thank DTN for putting this forward from staff.
All right. Thanks, Grace. Olivia, are you asking to see the structure on the screen? And I'm not sure if we have, but I mean, maybe Stephanie can talk to that. I'm not sure if we have it in as a. I don't think we have it as a. Oh, there you go. It's been posted in the chat. So there's your makeup of your sort of multi-stakeholder group in the IFR. And as Stephanie said, it's in the document she circulated. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. And actually, you said it. This is, I think, a very good example of where we have the multi-stakeholder model in play. And I think, personally, I think it looks very good. Being one of the non-CCNSO members, it's important to see that those have been included too. And I think that's also a very important part of the NTIA requirement. So I think this is where we have the multi-stakeholder model in place. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Any other comments or questions before I hand back to Stephanie? Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Martin Boyle here. Yes, I think certainly as the nominate comment said, and I think quite a number of other CCTLDs identified, and let's actually remember that an awful lot of the biggest problems that affect the IANA functions operator tend to be caused by CCTLDs. I certainly have quite a serious concern about, firstly, the relationship between the total number of registries, 4 of, I think it's 13, but my maths are not necessarily very good at the moment, as being registries, and yet this is all about a technical and service function. And secondly, my concern that we have just 2 ccTLDs from this, of which actually only 1 from the CCNSO, and the CCNSO issues, as I say, will be quite substantial parts of concerns about the way that the IANA functions operator works. Yes, it's important to have a non-CCNSO ccTLD, but 1 CCNSO against, is it 5 GNSO members, I think, is not a fair balance. So I really do have serious concerns about, with this particular, let's base it entirely on the organizational chart, fails to take into account the quite serious issues that will need to be addressed by the IANA functions review team. Thanks.
Thanks, Martin. I'll leave others to come in behind and either respond or take up those points. So I note that Keith in the chat is supportive. I'm sure others will come in with views. So let me hand over to Olivier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jonathan. It's Olivier speaking. I often completely agree with Martin, but on this occasion, I do have a question for Martin, and perhaps also I see Keith also mentioning things in the chat. This whole functions review is going to be primarily based on the input that is received from the CSC. And do they see that any part of it will be political? Because this whole thing of representation on there and having more issues that will be CC-based, therefore you need more people on that committee or on that team that will be from the CC community. I can only think that numbers, actual exact numbers, will have something to do if it becomes a political discussion. But if it's really down to making sure the IANA functions actually work and the operator works, and if things don't work, then we have to issue the RFP, et cetera, then I'm not quite sure where one then starts being concerned about the number of people rather than actually being represented on that committee. Thank you.
So there's a queue forming, and I'll just give priority should Martin, first of all, want to respond directly to that question, since it's a direct question for him from Olivia. So, Martin, go ahead if you'd like to say something.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think Olivier certainly makes a very good point that I would expect most of the review to be about the service that is being provided, and therefore would be being based on the views of and the input that has come from the CSC. However, certainly the bit that does concern me is that there will be, I think, quite a lot of pressure on, is the PTI in carrying out its work basing itself correctly on the policy in place. The policy in place for the GNSO is substantially different to the policy in place for ccTLDs, for which there is a multitude of different sources, and it's because of this is the PTI introducing new demands is it's interpreting policy in a way that is perhaps stretching the belief of what the policy should be, and that I think is a very serious and very tricky issue to discuss, and therefore with the very limited representation I think could be a substantial problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. That's a clear response. I think given where Stephanie's been leading the conversation, I'd like to give Stephanie the opportunity before coming to Avery and Lisa. So, Stephanie, if you'd like to come in now, do so. Otherwise, I'll come back to you after Avery.
Yeah, I wanted to second what Olivier had raised. I think that the CSE input, as well as the input that goes directly out through the IANA, that is received directly from the IANA customer surveys, are going to be among the most important inputs that this IANA function review team is considering. So that deals largely with the operational issues. With respect to the political concerns that Martin just raised, I understand the concern about the CCNSO representation. I think one of the most important tasks, because we had a CSE that was so registry-heavy, one of the things that we were working toward was to get a better balance between registry representatives and other parts of the ICANN community. And I think for this purpose, there's more of an equality between GTLD registries and CCTLD registries. I think that balance is important. And I also wanted to call out that compared to the other groupings of the community, there is already some weighted representation for CCTLDs versus those other factions. I think, I mean, there might be a discussion to be had about maybe doing two instead of one CCNSO representatives, but I don't really think that with the balance that we're trying to get out and the fact that one of our imperatives in developing the IFRT was to also keep the group small and lean and able to operate efficiently, I don't really think that starting from the principle of having five seats, one from every geographic region, I don't think that that's reconcilable with the other types of balances that we're trying to achieve and keeping a lean composition.
Thanks, Stephanie. That's helpful. Avery, I'll go straight to you.
Thank you. This is Aubrey speaking. I want to concur with most of what Stephanie said. I mean, it is certainly possible for us to work our way back to the 25, 27 plus membership committees that we had when we were talking about the MRT and including one from every region of every stakeholder group, et cetera. So we had worked our way down to that. Now, this was not causative, but doing a post-analysis on the composition of these, and if you look at stakeholder groups, not in terms of the silos and sub-silos that we've created for ourselves, but if you look at it in terms of registries, the customers and users of registries, and the advisory functions within ICANN, you actually can see it as having a parity there of a third of the people on it being registries of one sort or another, a third of the people on it being customers, whether it's registrars, registrants, users, and a third of them being the advisories and liaisons, the ESAC, the GAC, the CSE, et cetera. So trying to find a multi-stakeholder balance while keeping it small. So we had gone through that very long negotiation. Now there's something I don't necessarily favor, but it's an option we can consider, and that's that same dichotomy or duality we've gotten into with the CWG meetings of members and others being able to participate to varying degrees. I don't that loses us some of the quickness and flexibility, but then does increase the voice's potential. So that's another balancing issue thought of. So I just wanted to bring those two things up. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Avery. Let me hand straight over to Lisa, who's next, wants to make a point.
Thank you, Jonathan. And Martin, yes, I think you have a point saying that the CC community is very diverse compared with the other communities, and this might be an issue in this sense. Having said that, I also think it's important that we have the multi-stakeholder model here and have the balance. And I kind of like the idea that Stephanie announced, that saying we could maybe have an extra CCNSO, so you have two from the CCNSO and one non-CCNSO, and try to even the difference more out in this. And as I think it was Olivier saying, that most is going to be dealt with in the CSC. This is going to be a review team, so this is going to be very dependent on the CSC also, and asking into their opinion. So I think you have to view it all in connection. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. I noticed that Stefan in the chat is supportive of you, and Paul also in the chat notes the requirement to focus on delivery of service and performance, and Diana is and should be technical. Of course, just a reminder that on the day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month focus on holding IANA's feet to the fire, should that be necessary, that is the function and role of the CSC. And Chuck makes a point that we should perhaps not get into a debate over relative diversity. In a sense, we've got I don't want to push us to a premature close here, but there's a proposal floating around here that says, can we nudge it in the direction that Martin is seeking by a tweak to the composition? It probably roughly, I haven't done the numbers, but it probably roughly matches still Avery's one-third. How do others feel about that tweak? One additional PC representative, or have you considered all of this so carefully that you feel that you've got that refined balance already? I must say it's legend, I think, that putting the GNSO as having five and thinking that the GNSO is in some way a coherent and cohesive community that might be aligned, or is in any way guaranteed to be aligned, is a stretch. But and so that does give me a little smile if we put GNSO versus DCs. But you know, I think it's really an opportunity to speak for or against. Yeah, so it may. I mean, arguably, we've got. I won't. I know, and this is the to Olivier's point. Once we start to open up, and I think this is where the group came from. They carefully pared it back down from a really substantial number, and that's acknowledged. So, and that's kind of what's. Stephanie's original point was, look, there's some who want more, there's some who want less, this is a carefully struck balance. The question is, really, is it an acceptable tweak that just might get us a rather rapid compromise and allow us to park composition rather than spending a whole long time on it? All right. Well, we're certainly sitting at it appears one of two solutions, either either as proposed or tweaked in the direction of an additional CCNSO plus one. I saw some support for that, but possibly not sufficient. It may be worth progressing through the other points and not getting absolutely stuck on this for the moment, but recognizing that that remains then an open item that we might need to come back to later in the call while others digest whether they can live with or are prepared to not die in a ditch over one way or another. So let's bear that in mind and recognize that we'll have to come back to that and permit Stephanie to continue to lead us through, notwithstanding that point on composition.
So another point that we got comments on, and we've touched on in this last discussion, is the question of geographic representation, which we hadn't specifically called out either in our public or in the version that was sent out for public comment or in our subsequent revisions to it. In the work since yesterday that we carried out to call the public comments, we took some of the discussion from yesterday and decided that, I mean, it's difficult to provide for perfect balanced representation of all the geographic regions because we're trying to keep it as a very small group. So most of the appointing organizations, many of the appointing organizations only have a single representative. We suggested that to the extent that an appointing body was appointing more than one representative, that then they should seek to appoint not all of the people from the same ICANN geographic region, which I think is a good starting place. I note that on the list, Chuck had also suggested that potentially the groups could communicate their selections and there could be some attempted reconciliation between the selections across these different groups. I think it's a good idea in principle, though I think it adds a pretty good deal of complication between the appointing procedures because each group is going to be going about it internally according to their own rules and procedures. So I wanted to put out to the group now whether there are additional suggestions about whether we think that requiring geographic diversity for folks that are appointing more than one representative is an appropriate solution, or are there other ways that we should be trying to go about this, acknowledging that it's a pretty small size that we're looking at for the IFRT. And
so
this could also be applied to the separation community working groups because we also haven't defined geographic representation for that particular body, which wasn't discussed in the draft proposal, but I think we can leverage parts of this conversation to potentially add additional criteria to that if we need to also.
So key question is, to what extent is geographic diversity either not addressed, addressed as a desirable condition, or addressed as a mandatory condition in any part of the language describing this? Avery?
Thank you. This is Avery speaking. I mean, it is quite difficult on the geographic representation. Now, in the case that we go to one of the entities having more than one, and we can look at them in different ways, we could put requirements, as I think Stephanie was saying, on them having to have no more than one from any particular geographic region. So that starts to push it a little. And while normally in one representation, we look at, for example, the GNSO membership in this as being separated between registries and customers, in another respect, we could look at it as useful for doing some of the geographic distribution. Likewise, if any other of the groups were to have more than one, which they don't at the moment, then they could also be part of doing their own. You have to have, no more than one person in a geography that starts to distribute. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. And I see a couple of comments running in the chat around being careful not to be overly driven by this requirement. Alan?
Thank you. It has been suggested that we allow alternates because any group with only one person where a specific organization only has one person on it and the group runs for a long time is in a really bad position because often things come up where people cannot attend. And alternates are useful in that situation. And should we allow alternates, then we could also require that the alternates provide some level of diversity.
Any response to the point on alternates? Is alternates currently not envisaged? Is that the point?
I don't believe it's mentioned anywhere. I think the ALAC mentioned it, but I'm not. I don't believe it's mentioned in the current document. I may be wrong.
So Stephanie confirms in the chat that it doesn't currently consider alternates, but that may be. So Stephanie, can I understand from that there's no? Okay, the discussion could be had. It's not that there's at this. So that may be a way of fixing things. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. One of the things I think it's helpful to keep in mind is that ultimately any recommendations coming out of the IFRT would have to be approved by both of the policy development by GNSO and CCNSO, as well as other approval mechanisms. And recognizing that those groups, I think, are geographically diverse, that in the end, I think there's pretty good geographic diversity. Now, as I proposed on list between the two calls today, I'm okay if an additional step to try and balance geographical diversity is taken, and if that can be done without too much complexity, which I think it should. But that aside, I think it's helpful for us to remember that in the end, any recommendations coming out of an IFRT would have to be approved by the CCNSO and GNSO and other approval requirements, which are very multi-stakeholder and I think geographically diverse. I think we don't need to spend too much time tweaking all of this if we understand that. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. Can I just be, I suppose the current recommendation is that just going back to the document, we recommend that a principle that, to the extent possible, groups appointing more than one representative strive to have representatives from different geographic regions. So there's certainly a recommendation. I think you could potentially strengthen that to say consideration. I mean, if you're publishing where the group is coming from, consideration is generally given to geographic diversity. I don't think I'm seeing a strong requirement here for mandatory. So, Stephanie, I think you've got the group's got some direction here. I'm not sure how much further we can resolve this. There's some consideration to alternates. There's recommendation to contain language that reflects geographic diversity. And then there's Chuck's point to think about that the approval mechanism is So it feels to me like you've got enough additional substance to work with here, and we should probably move the conversation on to the next point.
Happy to move the conversation along. The next item that we had pulled out from the public comments is that whereas we had proposed that the periodic review be carried out first after a two-year period from the date of transition and then thereafter every 5 years, there were some comments that called for the reviews to be carried out much more frequently. We saw a couple that were saying that this should be done every other year, and one that even noted that this should be carried out every year. Considering that we envisage that this would be about a 9-month process, we think that the churn of doing reviews and the burden on the community would be too much. And Chuck added a very good point on the list, which is that also this has been a very predictable service, and the CSC has mechanisms to also consider other changes on a more day-to-day basis. So we're pretty comfortable with the proposed 5-year review structure, especially because it's also supplemented by the option to trigger a review outside of that cycle if it was determined to be necessary. And that review wouldn't necessarily be a separation review. There could be a multitude of outcomes or a multitude of causes for it.
Thanks, Stephanie. I guess the a take from that is that the group had a pretty clear recommendation. There were some prospective tweaks to that provided by the public comments, but my feeling is you're not swayed by it. I don't know if anyone else, I'm going to call the question really, do we stick with what we have, or does anyone else feel that the public comments are sufficiently material to modify? And I know Stefan's comment saying he agrees with sticking with the current proposal as it stands. So I think in the interest of time, I would keep moving, Stephanie, unless people call you back and tell you that they're either too frequent or too infrequent. We have a working proposal. We have some comments. You've thought about them. Let's keep it moving unless someone calls you back.
Great. So the next item is the outcomes of the IFR. We had actually included a very high level but not well-developed inventory of potential outcomes, but ultimately, and this has been further clarified in more recent drafts, we don't want the outcomes of the IANA function review to be prescribed. We think that it could be anything from there being no action to the initiation of a separation process, which we've defined a lot better in more recent versions of the draft. The question that I have, and I think we would be willing to do this if people in the CWG think it's useful, is whether we wanted to include, to still make it clear that the outcomes were not going to be predefined, but to include an inventory of possible outcomes from a separation review, or not from a separation review, pardon, from an IANA functions review, if we want to explicitly call that out. Or if we think that even stating that within the proposal would be somewhat prescriptive.
Thanks, Stephanie. That's a really good question. I mean, personally, I'm fairly attached to the open item, and I have no view yet. I think it's a great construct of this group that we came to the point that we wouldn't prescribe the outcome. I don't feel strongly, and I wonder how others feel about potentially indicating possible outcomes. Stephanie, go ahead again.
Yeah, and I just wanted to call out that one thing that we do say in the current version of the draft is that the outcome can be anything from no action to initiation of the separation process. So while we haven't described everything that falls in between, we've kind of put what the ends of the spectrum could potentially be for the review. So I think that's a useful boundary. The question is, do we need anything more than that? I'm inclined to want to keep it open as well.
Avery, Stephanie, did you want to finish before? And then I won't come in again. And it's when you finish,
no,
Avery, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm all set.
Yeah, this is Avery. I think it's very good to leave it open the way it is. We may want to just give a mention to, you know, the center of that spectrum being various forms of remedial recommendation.
at just to sort of indicate what kinds of things without getting into an explicit list. So that would be my only recommended change, to just indicate kind of what's in that middle space. Thanks.
Yeah, and as I must say, as you were talking, I was thinking about this, and I think there's a communications issue here, and it may be that where you seem to be is you're saying there's no prescribed outcome, the range could be this, and some examples could be this, and I wonder if it isn't useful to put a couple of examples in, so they're not possible outcomes, but, and I know this is really nuanced, but it just gives some examples. So for a reader who's not as in-depth in this as we are, it's illustrative, and you might even say illustrative examples include. So that's just a thought to slightly tweak what's going on. And then if you don't hear anything else, Stephanie, I suggest you consider moving on through the list. Chuck, go ahead.
Just a quick comment. I think part of our problem on this is the definition of outcomes. When I think of outcomes, I think of recommendations coming out of the IFRT. I don't think that's what the commenters meant here, but I believe that's part of the confusion here.
Okay. So there seems to be a couple of bits of support for some examples, but recognizing I think the overarching statement would be that there is no prescribed outcome, and I think that's a fundamental principle of this part of our work. I take Chuck's point that outcomes may be, there may be some ambiguity as to what. All right, well, maybe we should let Stephanie and colleagues move on, and Avery's noted that she'd be happy to take a crack at something that defined, that put a bit of scope on it without being prescriptive.
All right, so can we scroll up a little bit? So notwithstanding the conversation that we had before about what the size of CCTLD representation should be on the IFRT, a question was also raised about how non-CCNSO members would potentially be appointed to the IFRT. This has been made more specific in the current draft and in what we put out for public comment, as we specifically noted who of the CCTLD representatives would be coming out of the CCNSO and who would be a non-CCNSO representative. The suggestion was made in the public comment period that for both of these bodies, the CCNSO still should be the appointing body. We discussed this as a design team, and we generally agree with that suggestion, particularly if it's qualified that one of the representatives has to be coming from outside of the CCNSO. We think that the CCNSO is still best equipped as an appointing body and also as an outreach body. As I know, they retain the contact information for both Freevin CCTLD operators that sit outside of the CCNSO. But I wanted to put it out particularly to members of the CWG who are CCTLD operators and don't participate, whether we think that's appropriate as a mechanism, if it's clearly qualified that there is going to be non-CCNSO representation on it.
Okay, Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. To me it makes sense that it is the CCNSO that is appointing, because the others are not in the same way organized. So having a process that saying that you need to include non-CCNSO members is important, but I also recognize that we need procedure in the body to do the selection. So being a non-CCNSO member, to me, that's fine. And I see Paul in the chat is mentioning, I would assume that it's fine. Non-CCNSO registries simply don't want ICANN board to impact their operations. So, but
okay, so it sounds like in the absence of objections, you can move on with that. And I'll just encourage anyone, if you do, you know, don't feel you've absolutely missed the boat. We don't want people dragging us back too much, but if you feel you've missed a chance to comment, just come in as quickly as you possibly can. Otherwise, I'm going to encourage Stephanie, in the interest of getting through this, to keep moving.
All right, so I'll move it along to the scope of the IFRT. And this is a pretty simple question that was raised, I think, in the ALAC comment, which asks for clarification that this would apply only to the naming functions. It was the intent in drafting the separation process that this would only be applying to the naming functions. So we will just take the task of making that. I think it already has been clarified in most places in the current draft, but I will do a run through to make sure that is properly referenced everywhere in the overview of the separation or of the special review and the separation process. The next
a quick comment from Lisa. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Sorry, Stephanie. I just saw in the chat that Donna made a very good suggestion, and that was that the CCNSO, with input from the regional CC organizations, could appoint. So that could be a way to describe how to do it for the non-CCNSO members. Thank you. And sorry to jump back, but...
Thanks.
No, not a problem. And I don't know that we can have one of the regional appointing bodies as regional organizations as the appointing bodies, but I think the way that Donna has it formulated makes good sense. So if you and other folks are in agreement, I can definitely make that change or make that addition to the draft. I see a green check from Avery and a plus one from Stefan. So unless I hear otherwise, I'll go ahead with that addition also. So the next item that we had was also a pretty simple one. We got some comments that were expressing concerns about the IANA function review team sitting within PTI and concerns about undue influence if that was the case. There were also concerns about PTI providing secretariat and other support for the IANA function review team. That was not the intent of the design team. We intended that this would be a group sitting within ICANN and identified within the ICANN bylaws, but we take note that that could be clearer in the draft, and unless we see any concerns from folks in the CWG, we'll take that task back and update the draft just to make sure that is crystal clear in the latest version. Aubrey?
This is Avery. Just wanted to add one quick thing on that. Since we situated the IFR team, at least for the moment, within the context of standard review teams and all the mechanisms that apply to those standard mechanisms, like secretariat support from ICANN staff and such on the CCWG side, I think a lot of that ICANN infrastructure for supporting a review team is inherited just by that very nature. If we moved it out of there, then we'd have to be specific. But at the moment, I think it's actually inherited from its nature as a review team. Thanks.
Okay, seeing no other comments, I'll go on to the next point, which was just a basic comment that we saw numerous times, and considering that we kicked off this work just before the public comment period, doesn't come as any surprise, was that there was insufficient detail around the separation review. There have been a few changes since the special IFR has been sort of redefined and is no longer being tied exclusively to separation, but we've also defined a separation process, which is the creation of the separation community working group, and defined what that would look like and how it would conduct its work. That overview is covered, the most recent version of that overview is what I circulated to the group just at the start of this call today. So it's difficult to kind of assess the public comments because we're in a very different place now with defining the separation process than we were at the time that the comments were received. But I open it up to folks to identify any points of confusion that persist with the current version of the separation review overview or areas that we think require further detail in the process where it stands today. And I also wanted to flag that to the extent that there were some specific comments raised, like community consultation requirements, we looked through these and thought a lot of them were addressed by the work that had been done since the date of the public comment period. So that's it for me. I'll turn it over to folks with their hands raised.
Thanks, Stephanie. So we'll go to Chuck first. Go ahead, Chuck.
Thanks. And I'm supportive of the DTN recommendation here, but I wonder if with regard to the SCWG, since it's a working group, if this is an area where the membership of the working group could include more from the CCNSO, like we were talking about earlier, or from the CCs, so that they get, you know, the geographic distribution of the five regions or whatever they so want. I like the idea of patterning the working group after the IFRT, but it seems to me in a working group there could be a little more flexibility there to accommodate some of the concerns that were expressed earlier with regard to CC participation. I just throw that out. I'm not pushing that, but it seems like a little more flexibility in a working group like this could be had and accommodate some of the concerns we heard earlier with regard to the IFRT.
Thanks, Chuck. That's an interesting suggestion. I note the comments in the chat there about members and participants, which becomes more important to distinguish when we're talking about the CWG here. Martin?
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, certainly I initially put my hand up for very similar reasons to Chuck's intervention, so I won't repeat those at all. But I think the thing I'm taking away from this discussion and what Stephanie said right at the start was that the SCWG, its key role is going to be to look at the processes, which would include writing an RFP, going through that whole process, and eventually selecting the future operator. And I would put my hand up here and say it is very, very important through that process that it is entirely an open process, and that there is plenty of opportunity for people to put views into that discussion in a roughly similar way to the way that the NTIA went through with its notice of inquiry and further notice of inquiry as it went through its statement of work, RFP, call it what you will. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Martin. Any other comments or questions in respect to this? And is there... And then there's a point from Donna in the chat that seeks to potentially modify the working group to include greater participation from all direct customers. And Avery notes that there's, of course, already greater representation from direct customers. Donna? Donna?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Donna.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. I think my concern here is that the separation review is very different from the IANA function review, in that if it gets to the point that separation has been decided that it is warranted and we should move forward, then it's a different, potentially a different set of people that you want in the room and a different composition. So I think that should be taken into account, that the separation review is different. There will be an outcome. It will impact the direct customers. So I think that should be factored in. Now, whether that's greater representation on the SCWG or a mechanism like Martin was speaking to, I would lean more towards more representation from the direct customers, but I understand that that is a sensitive issue. So if there's another way to provide for more input from the direct customers, then I think that should be provided in some way.
Thank you, Donna. I must say, I hadn't formed a view on this, but as you spoke, it does occur to me that, and this is just food for thought, that the functions review is somewhat of an audit-type function, whereas the CWG, the separation review work, is more of a potentially, at least, although I think it's not constrained, is a potentially more of a vendor selection exercise. So there is an argument to say, which you have made, in part at least, that the tasks are different. I wouldn't mind clarifying what you endorsed a suggestion of what Martin was saying, and then Martin's come back. So I wouldn't mind clarification of what Martin was saying. I understood Martin's points on process. We're saying any vendor selection process or a prospective future PTI should be done methodically and thoroughly along the lines of the process that NTIA had undertaken. But did you say something else, Martin, that's material and needs to be captured?
Thanks, Jonathan. And no, I actually at that stage made no comment about the makeup of the SCWG. I think I actually share some of, probably rather a lot of Donna's concerns that you end up with an SCWG that absolutely does need to understand what the requirements of the customers actually are. But what I was looking at was that if you're going through the SCWG process, that process needs also to get in comments from way outside its own membership, including almost certainly from the other operational communities as well. I'll leave it just there. Thanks.
Okay, so there's actually a couple of themes coming in here, and we need to try and give this group direction so they can. I mean, it sounds to me like there's two points here at least. One is composition in terms of a sort of map of the composition and the relative amounts, and the other is almost a skill set issue. So in theory, you could be coming from the same community and in the first instance, if you were on IFR, having the relevant skills for that job, and if you were on SCWG, have a different set of skills, notwithstanding the fact that you came from the same community. So we sort of assume that the community and the skill sets go together. And so it may be that the group makes a recommendation as to the fit for purpose or the appropriate nature of the skill sets in each case. And that might be at least a partial fix. I'm not saying that deals with the composition point of view, but it does at least guide thinking of the appointing groups as to say, you know, this is what you're trying to achieve. So even if it was as bland as saying appointees should have an appropriate skill set to undertake the work provided, and we may go further than that, but it's that kind of that may help things a little at least. So far we've had a couple of suggestions for potentially in modifying composition in both cases. Okay, well, let's keep moving for the moment, Stephanie, and recognize that there's potential composition issues. And James highlights that point, auditor versus procurement manager. Go ahead, Stephanie. Let's keep working through these and make sure we make as much progress as we can, noting that there's a partially open item on composition in both cases.
Okay, so the next item on the overview that I prepared is the role of the board, which was, again, something that was probably not that well-defined in the version that went out for public comment, but we have put some more clarity around in the more recent drafts. And basically where we have it standing now is that the board's responsibility would only come in two places. First, it would be approval of a recommendation to initiate a special review, which would be in addition to CCNSO and GNSO approval, and also in the approval of the recommendations of the special or of the IANA functions review. We think that with this kind of clarified scope, that there's not too much and certainly not very active board involvement. It's just the approval function. And considering the nature of what's at hand, we don't think that board approval can be circumvented. One of the things that we had already done in the more recent version of the draft, which I hope will address some of these concerns, is to require that if the board were to reject the outputs of an IANA function review, that it would have to both have the same voting thresholds and follow the same procedures as for rejection of the outcome of a policy development process. And I note Chuck's clarification here that it would be a supermajority policy development process. So I hope that quells some of the concerns that came in. But if people still think that this is too much board involvement, we can take a look. I think we've tried to keep it pretty bare bones and to build in additional safeguards, even where we do have the board playing a role. And Aubrey also notes that we have CCWG mechanisms to handle board rejection, which is important to consider also. And in response to Brendan's comments, this is the ICANN board that we're talking about. Matt, can you please provide a little bit more clarity around the question that you're raising in the chat. Right now we have the board approving the outcomes of the special IANA function review, but they're not actually playing an active role in developing the outcomes. Um, Yes. So Matt Shear says, I thought it had to agree to the initiation of the special ANA function review. Yes, that's true. There is board agreement of the initiation of the special ANA function review and board approval of the outcomes of the special ANA function review.
And Stephanie, it's Jonathan. Perhaps then, so presumably the check and balance on that is, if the board unreasonably fails to accept the initiation of a review or the outcomes of a review, the community then has recourse to the CCWG accountability mechanisms to deal with that. Thanks, Stephanie. So Matthew questions is the series of dependencies. I mean, Matthew, just a perspective on that. I suspect this is from some perspectives or some observers' view. This will be a potentially highly destabilizing activity. Now you might say, well, operational failure is equally destabilizing, and when the remedies need to be invoked, it needs to be invoked. But it's about the perceived and actual checks and balances at each step of the way, such that it goes through. And I assume that's where the group's coming from. But you know, how do others feel about initiation? Maybe initiation is less significant than acceptance of recommendations. You know, let's try and. Greg, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. Greg Shatton, for the record. I think that the approval of the initiation or review is necessary and appropriate, both because it is the outcome of a review team, kind of procedurally should occur. Secondly, you know, this would be a major corporate event for ICANN, would be a significant investment of time, money, and effort, support, and you know, going out to the public perhaps with an RFP, which will be extensive. I mean, this is not small beans by any stretch of the imagination, and such. And it's just, you know, good governance that the board. I would need to approve something of this magnitude. Thank you.
Actually, it just occurs to me there's a point of information that it might be useful to give at this point. I made a reference in Singapore, I think it was, to the board-initiated review of the GNSO, which I took to be the case. I understood that we were in the midst of a board-initiated review. As it turns out, it's an ICANN bylaw mandated review, as arguably would be both the regular and special reviews in this case. And one of the board members took umbrage at me referring to it as a board-initiated review. So whilst the board, in effect, was overseeing the review, they had no choice but to follow the bylaw mandated review. And in some ways, if the analogy persists, which I think it is our intention, it's interesting to even note technically whether the board has a role in initiating it other than to ensure that it is undertaken consistent with the bylaws. So maybe that's what we mean, and maybe that's sufficient to assuage any concerns. So I'll just add that as a piece of information and then revert back to the queue. James.
Hi, James Gunn. So I think we need to just look at these in two separate instances because they're two different things. So I would have concerns around the process for this special IFR needing to go to the board. My issue with that would be is that if we're convening the special IANA functions review, it's generally four calls. Something has happened that is requiring us to look at this. And my impression would be that that would be something that, yes, needs to be carefully considered, but would need a point of expediency about it. And my concern would be that if we have a situation where the community has identified something needs to, something has gone wrong, and we need to initiate an SIFO, and the board rejects it, we are then getting into what can be quite a long and protracted process to go through the accountability mechanism for a board rejection of something, which may actually then impact the operational issues that the SIFO is going to be looking at. So I would, my suggestion would be, could we look into the possibility that if an SIFO is brought to the board, that the board is compelled via a bylaw to accept that initiation step, so that we can then get into the process of looking at, okay, what needs to be done. So I just, in the process of how this would happen, I would have concerns about how long the accountability measures being put in place to for a board rejection would impact on whatever the issue that the SIFO is going to be looking at.
Thanks, James. And your suggestion is, in my view, consistent with that of Chuck's in the chat, which is supported by Matthew, that the board could be given the opportunity to initiate a review in addition to the community, but not require both. And that seems self-consistent with both a bylaw-mandated regular review and perhaps a bylaw-mandated requirement to initiate a review on appropriate suggestion by the community. Avery?
Thank you. Avery speaking. One of the, in terms of initiating the IANA function review, indeed, the regularly scheduled one is needs no board intervention. Now, the reason I think that we put board approval in the special, and this could possibly be dealt with in other ways, is every board decision on a recommendation is preceded by community review. Since this was CSE to the S and their supermajority, without any interval, without any point at which wider community input was taken, basically one of the features inherited immediately by having the board approve that. So that was one element. Now, if the CCWG does create this members body, then certainly that is another way to gather. But what is missing, and or perhaps it's not missing, but what I certainly believe was missing from going directly from SO supermajority to the special IFR was indeed that level of community input. So I think if we take the board out, we need to consider whether we need some other mechanism in there to register that. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. That's clear. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. I raised my hand when you were talking about a director said these things aren't, reviews aren't board initiated, they're bylaw initiated. Perhaps this is the right time to use the term weasel words. Reviews, regular reviews, are in fact carried out or initiated and put through the structural improvements part of the board, committee of the board, which makes recommendations to the board. The board has the right to initiate changes of bylaws. And in fact, we're right now in a public comment initiated by the board saying maybe we need to rethink the interval and things. So the distinction between the board doing something and the bylaws doing something is a rather poor distinction if you're trying to put the blame on someone else. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I just put a clarifying point in the chat saying that the reviews are bylaw mandated and therefore the board must do it as opposed to board initiated.
Unless the board decides to change it.
Yes, but that depends on how well structured and firm the bylaws are. Donna?
Thanks, Jonathan. I have a question in relation to the time frame for how long a separation review would take. I noticed that Stephanie said the IANA function review would take in the order of 9 months. I asked the question about the separation review and timing and whether that's been scoped out, because if you get to a point where you actually want to start a separation review, things are probably in a pretty bad shape. So there has to be the ability to be reasonably expedient, I think, on conducting a separation review and getting to the end game, which I assume is a different operator. So I just wondered if there's been any discussion around how long it would take to conduct the separation review and how that would fit in with the process.
Yeah, that's a good question, Donna, and of course it's possibly a hard one to answer given, you know, our own experience of time in this particular process and given some of the analogies that have been made to a separation review and this particular piece of work. But I think if you wanted probably as good an indicator as any, it would be the time we've taken to do this work. Alan, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's an old hand.
Okay, so then there are some issues here. Certainly there's this point about initiation, and I think there's a note of caution about bylaw initiated reviews, and just that there would have to be community consultation if there was any element of that change. But let's leave that aside for the moment, because in many ways that's an issue of the effectiveness of the legal drafting. What I think is a question here is the issue of the initiation of a special review. Now, some have spoken to that initiation of the special review not having to go through a board approval process. Avery spoke to it not necessarily having to go through a board approval process, but being the subject of some form of community consultation. And in a sense, the board approval was a device. I think it's a question of, can we live with the board approval having had that explanation? Is that going to put an unnecessary time or barrier in the way? That seems to be the open question here. And then there's a couple of others around composition that I think we're going to have to come back to and try and resolve. Go ahead, Avery.
Thank you. I understand the desire to do this quickly. I also think we have to understand that in presenting a solution to the NTIA, we have to be able to show that any further transition of the IFO is going to be something that is taken deliberately, and that we're not just going to be, you know, pulling a fast one. And doing something like that, but that it takes serious consideration with serious process, and as others have indicated, a chance for the globe to comment. Otherwise, you know, we can, you know, in taking the highest of the helicopter, perhaps this is one of those radar ships up in the sky, view of this and looking at the political environment and Congress and NTIA in terms of how quickly can what we are doing be undone. We really do need a deliberate process here with the proper checks and balances. So finding the balance between getting it done quick because things are in a mess, and the fact that we let it get to that mess, is also problematic. That's why we can have a review with other remediation steps at earlier points. So hopefully we won't get to this mess. But to be able to say, yes, we have to be able to move quickly, but we have to move deliberately and not look like, you know, just making it too easy to change the conditions once we get out of the NTIA contract. Thanks.
So that's a really good lens on the whole thing as well, the perceptions and reality of the perceived stability of the structures that we are creating. And if you remember, one of the board public comments is, how will these meet the NTIA criteria. So this would give us a very good argument to say that, and in the event of any potential separation, we envisage the process would closely mimic that undertaken to date, and therefore, by ergo, it's reasonable. So it feels to me like there's discussion around movement from where the proposal was at, but as I see it currently, so I guess the key point really to potentially focus attention on is the effectiveness and speed with which the SCWG could work, because the process to getting that, you've gone through your special review. Your special review has made the recommendation to invoke a separation cross-community working group, and then the question is how rapidly could that group work? I want to return us back to this point of composition, because we did discuss earlier, and it would be great if we could settle on this, prospective changes, and I grant we may not be able to the composition of either the IFR and the prospective change to that, or the SCWG. You've had some time to think about it. Is there any strength of views in either direction as to whether the because currently, I'll remind you, they mimic one another, and I've suggested, and I hope we will add consideration to the skill sets of those groups, so that notwithstanding the origination of the members of each group and the constituencies from which they derive, they will have particular fit for purpose skill sets. So hopefully we've got that, and it is in the note there on the right-hand side of your screen. So the question to the group now is, how do you feel, given that given the conversation we had about some recommendations on geographic diversity, some recommendations on skill sets for those groups, how do you feel about the necessary changes to composition of either of those groups, or do we stick with the slightly simplistic but in some ways structurally elegant solution of them being composed and derived of the same composition? We've got 15 minutes, and it would be great to get some strength of views in either direction to see if we can't resolve this. I realize you're all probably a little tired and so on, but it would be great if you could come back with some thoughts on composition and provide that contribution.
Jonathan, can you hear me? This is Chuck.
Yeah, I hear Chuck, and then we'll be followed by Martin. I didn't see either of your hands. I apologize, but go ahead, Chuck, and then we'll hear from Martin.
Sorry about that, Jonathan. This is Chuck, but I don't seem to be able to raise my hand right now or enter anything into the chat. What I tried to enter into the chat was I support some expansion of the SCWG, and that's really all I wanted to say. Just don't seem to be able to use the tool right now.
Thanks, Chuck. Could you clarify if that expansion is CCG? We've had proposals for CC expansion, G expansion, or I guess it was CC or both was what I heard earlier. So could you just speak to whether you have a view on either of those, or it's just in general receptive to expansion?
It was originally in general, but specific, but I think I do support specifically expansion of the CCNG participation in that and balancing those two because both sides, Cs and Gs, are directly impacted. So I support the some of the concerns expressed with regard to the IFRT expressed by the CCs earlier. So, but I think in this case that keeping the two balanced as direct customers is important, while at the same time allowing full participation of the broader community.
So sorry about the hand-raising difficulties. Hopefully that's now fixed, and you'll be able to join in the group by raising your hands. So that's a suggestion to accommodate expansion of the SCWG by proportional expansion of both C and G participation. Grace, you wanted to come in now just before we go back to the queue?
Hi, Jonathan. Yeah, so I think we had an issue with Adobe, and it seems like a few people were frozen and had to re-enter the room. So I'm wondering if we could maybe pause for a minute just to make sure that everyone gets back.
Okay. Thanks, Grace. We'll let everyone back, and I'll just do a very mini recap. We've come back to we didn't really get a resolution other than status quo on the mechanisms for how the review gets commissioned and the cross-community working group gets commissioned. So that more or less stayed as status quo. And I've brought us back to dealing with composition issues on IFR and SCWG, noting that we added the component that we added a geographic diversity recommendation and some wording around that. We also added some wording around ensuring that participants in either of those groups were fit for purpose, in other words, for the task being carried out by the groups. And then we had a contribution from Chuck saying he was receptive to expansion of the SCWG with both CC and G expansion, given the specifics of the task at hand. And so I'll then go to Martin. Go ahead, Martin.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yes. Well, I think I was the person who had most of the problems with the IFRT. I think I would have a certain degree of comfort from the idea of having specific reference to skill sets that are being brought into play in the various reviews. So yes, I still think that CCs are going to be underrepresented on the IFRT, but yeah, I think I could live with increasing the number of CCNSO members on that to two from the current one. But more importantly, well, actually quite fundamentally, and I think we just need to make sure that we are saying it loud and clear in the final draft, that the IFRT isn't a body that goes into a little room all by itself, shuts the door, and then comes out, sort of a little bit like the selection of a pope and saying, here you are, this is it, but rather that it is engaging quite actively with the wider community. The second point, though, on this SCWG, and I think as I understood what Chuck said, I am very firmly with him on that. Again, it's a skill set requirement that role is going to be very firmly focused on developing a request for proposals and then running the process for the selection of a new operator. And I think that really does mean that the people that are involved in that, again, it's going to be open to the outside world. It's not going to be going into its own little room. But very much the discussion in that room is going to be about what are the real requirements for the new operator and making sure that those are embodied properly in the RFP. If that's what Chuck was getting at, I'm with him. Certainly very important to make sure that we've got a good technical representation there. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Martin. That's a helpful additional comment. Avery?
Thank you. This is Avery. Thank you. Took me a second to unmute. I think, you know, I understand that the compromise we're heading to in terms of adding an extra CCNSO on the IFRP, and I have a strong issue with it. In terms of the SDWG, the Separation Community Working Group, I still am concerned about enlarging it, not enlarging it by that one CCNSO seat, that makes sense. But I'm still very concerned about alternate doubling it and such. You know, one of the things we did mention is the addition of participants. The issue that I have is we have sort of a contradiction between two sides of the equation where we say we want something done fast, but we want something with many, many members. So we'll have to find that particular balance. And perhaps one of those CCWG formulas that we are using, that there's one participant and up to N, I mean, one member and up to N participants might be a formula that still gives us something that's small enough to move. I want to, give an assurance that in all of this, there was an intention of complete transparency, a lot of outreach as globally, both to the ICANN community and beyond, as possible. So any place where that seems to be missing, I think it's just a matter of not having been explicit enough in the wording. But there was no intention of any small group going into a room somewhere and electing a pope. Such a foreign notion that it was kind of surprising to hear it. The idea was certainly all the way through that as transparency with maximal participation in terms of bringing in input as
okay, Avery, that clip. Sorry, Avery, the line was breaking up. I didn't want to cut across to you, but the line was breaking up in and out. But I think we got the significant gist of that. It looks like we've got Olivier in the queue, and then I'm going to try and make this a wrap. So go ahead, Olivier.
Thanks, Jonathan. Olivier speaking. And with regards to the selection of people to go on that SCWG and requiring skill sets, there is a precedent. Creating CWGs and creating CCWGs, when the charter has to be drafted, there's always a call for volunteers and with requirements that those people know how to draft charters, obviously, so for specific tasks. And I guess the SCWG task is the specific task. So we might wish to have a set of requirements on the people that would be on that committee. So we don't end up with open quotes, idiots, close quotes, as far as the topic itself is concerned. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to try and do a job to wrap this up. I've heard a pretty strong driver to try and modify compositions. We have certainly had good agreement, I think, on making sure we ensure these both of these two groups are fit for purpose, and in so doing that we specify skill sets and requirements in using whatever documentation and process is necessary. It feels to me like we could provisionally go with one other CCNSO rep on IFRT. That's what I thought I heard was possible. I also think I heard that there was scope to increase the SCWG, probably through additional participants of some sort, although I'm less clear on that. And certainly there seemed to be unambiguous that the review team work, the functions review team work, would be analogous to that of something like the ATRT and therefore conducted in a fully transparent and open way. And, of course, noting that there must be adequate place in both groups for non-CCNSO, CCTLD registries, regardless of their appointment mechanism. So we haven't yet dealt with separation costs. We'll probably have to pick that up at the beginning of the next call, but that does seem to give us some helpful movement and refinement in the right direction. So that was a content-rich and productive conversation to move us forward on all of this. So, and I think it's helped very, very strongly by the preparation of the groups coming into this, including Stephanie and others' last very recent preparation to link their most recent work with the public comments. So great work, very productive call. And noting an important point made by Donna, which we may need to give some more thought to, which is that currently we are undertaking a transition with an operator that we are broadly happy with and satisfied with, yet that may not be the case in the past. And that was clearly part of the motivator for pre-packaging the separate PTI entity rather than doing it in a crisis. So, Donna, to that extent, we've taken that step in that direction. But I take your point. It's a factor to bear in mind when considering this. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you all in a couple of hours' time, and hope to progress as much of this to a final conclusion as we can, or at least get it closer to wrapped up. Thanks very much.
Thanks, everyone.